Supposed to be out of Proverbs, and we have been in Proverbs, and will continue to be in Proverbs. But I want to finish off a thought tonight. This is a message that the Lord put on my heart last week, and I thought I was going to preach this message last week, and instead He had one more for us. I've been preaching on the home and parenting, and specifically the discipline of the home, both from the parents' perspective and from the children's perspective. Really, I think it must be about 5 or 6 weeks now, and I believe that the Lord is going to hopefully use this, just this simple truth, to close this out, and then we'll be right back into the verse-by-verse in Proverbs. So I wanted to speak tonight a little carefully and try to sew things up, and hopefully you've learned a couple of things, or at the least been reminded of a couple of things in the last several weeks as far as parenting. And as I spoke to someone today, I want to encourage you, especially those of you that have very young children still at home, and you haven't had the privilege of seeing some to the end result. As I said last week, you got to be very consistent. I think the number one thing that I've ever said to young parents is that you just have to stay consistent. And behavioral change and progress, even spiritually, is not seen or recorded in days, and you need to remember that. You're going to have to understand the process that God uses over time, and He uses everything, in fact, that we're going to talk about tonight, to get your child where he needs to go, but you got to stay with it. Inconsistency is about the only thing consistent in the Christian home today, and we want to try to thwart that and change that, that we would be consistent on every front. And so let me just say, like I said a couple weeks ago and even last week, whatever you do, don't quit, don't give up, don't throw in the towel. You've got to just stay with it. It's just like the Christian life. You can't say, okay, I've arrived after, you know, 3 or 4 years of being saved, and I've read the Bible through a couple of times. I don't need to pray. Don't need to go to church. Don't need to sing songs. Don't need to tell anybody about Jesus. Don't need to give anything because I've already arrived, and God could use me however He wants to, just right where I'm sitting. So don't get to that point parenting, like, okay, I can just put it in cruise control and, you know, oh, well, I tried it for a little while and it doesn't work. Even when the doctors give you antibiotic, they expect you to take it for 10 days. So you got to let it work. You have to let patience have her perfect work in your life, getting through the course of parenting and helping your children. So I want to talk to you tonight briefly about the Christian parent's greatest joy. And let's all stand together for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read one verse tonight. One verse, 3 John 4, the Bible says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Now, I understand completely that contextually speaking, John is talking about the fact that there are certain people that he's led to Christ, specifically Gaius is in the context, that he is doing better, that he is doing well, that he's walking in the Spirit, that the truth of God is actually being manifest in his life, and I get that completely. And so, however, I don't think it is a stretch of the text by any means to say that a parent shouldn't have the same joy over their own physical children. I mean, if he's saying that he has no greater joy than to have his spiritual children walking in truth, how much even greater would it be that our own children do the same? And so I chose this verse tonight to kind of launch into some things, and then we'll be back in Proverbs next week. So I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. In fact, let's read that verse together out loud. Ready? I have no greater joy than to hear. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God, and tonight as we open it, I pray that you give us wisdom. Lord, I ask that you would touch every heart here tonight in a very special way, and again, I yield myself to you afresh and anew tonight, asking you to please use me as your instrument. Lord, I need to be clean tonight, and I need to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain. Lord, I certainly don't want to have any hidden sin. As David said, "Cleanse thou thy servant from secret faults." Lord, I want to be a blessing tonight, and so I need you to fill me with your Spirit and give me wisdom and grace to do so. Would you please help me? And Lord, would you please help us all as parents to do our utmost, Lord, in trying to train up our children in the way that they should go. So when they are old, we will hear that they are walking in the truth. I pray that you bless every mom and dad here tonight, that you would give them fresh legs, so to speak, that they would, Lord, gain a fresh perspective, that they would be reminded again of the wonderful blessing it is to have children. Lord, thanks for giving us our kids, and help us, Lord, to steward their lives properly until the day we can let them go, and then we could hear what you're doing in their life because of it. I pray that you bless our time now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Probably true of every parent here that we love to hear good things about our children. We really do. We want people to tell us about how wonderful they are and how talented they are and how well-behaved they are and how well-rounded they are and how considerate they are. We love to hear people talk well about our children. We love to hear people talk about how mature they are and how much of a help they are. Those things bring joy to every parent's heart, but there is a greater joy that exceeds a write-up on a sports page or a reward for academics, and it is the joy that comes to your heart when someone speaks about your child in regards to them walking godly or to walk in God's truth. When we speak of the truth in our text, of course, we're speaking about the precepts of genuine Christianity according to Scripture. That would begin and include the truth as it pertains to salvation, as it pertains to life and godliness according to God's Word. Matthew Henry said it, and I love this quote, "The best evidence of our having the truth is walking in it." The best evidence of having the truth is walking in it. And that's what John is saying here. John, though it would be contextually speaking of spiritual children, is saying, listen, I have no greater joy than to know that the truth that I have given over to somebody concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth that I've given over to somebody as it pertains to their life by way of Scripture, to see that in shoe leather walking by and to hear somebody remark about what their life is now like, I really have no greater joy than to know that my labor wasn't in vain. I have no greater joy than to see that they have taken it, and the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same thou hast committed unto faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. What a joy. As parents, then, our goal ought to be that our children should walk in the truth and never depart from it, but for that dream to become reality. There are several ways we need to be helping them in regard to the truth. Let me give you several of them tonight. Number one, we must be exposing them to the truth. If we're going to ever hear from a third party that our children are actually walking in the truth, they have to be exposed to the truth. Let's just consider letter A, the source of truth this morning. What is the truth? Well, the Bible says, Jesus prayed in John 17, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." That is the Word of God. That is the Holy Bible as we know it. That is the 66 inerrant and inspired books that we call the Holy Bible, so that they would actually know the truth. They have to be exposed to it. If there's going to be ever any freedom truly from sin, if there's ever going to be any freedom in their own life to live, it is only going to be found in the Word of God. In fact, Jesus goes on to say in verse 18 of that same text, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified," or set apart, watch, "through thy truth." Now I get it. Everything that Jesus is speaking of here is talking about sending the disciples into the world to proclaim the gospel. But can I just say this? Isn't that what we're supposed to do with our kids anyway? I mean, after all, if we're following Christ, God's going to turn us to have a compassionate heart and make us to be fishers of men. And if we're walking in truth and we're taking that truth to the people that we're already related to and already have an opportunity to be with, isn't our children going to follow us? I mean, that's the idea. They're going to have to one day be sent out into the world. What kind of Christian am I sending out into the world? The idea is, Jesus speaks, that says, hey, listen, they're not of the world. And by the way, if you're saved, your children aren't of the world either. Your children belong to God. They are gifts to you, and you have the responsibility to set them apart from the world. How is that possible? Through the Word of God. Jesus said, this is what I'm giving to you for that reason. What I mean is, we need to expose them to the truth, the source of the truth, the Word of God. Let me just give you a couple of things. You need to read it to them. You need to read the Bible to them. You need to read them Bible stories. You need to listen to them. You need to sing songs about it. You need to talk about it. And not only when they're children, when your children are young, but also when they're older. You need to remind them of the importance of the Word of God. It took Cammy and I 25 years to figure out devotions, but we believe we've got a handle on it now. Now look, I'm just being honest with you. It took us 25 years and three children to try to figure out, okay, here's the best time, here's the best way, now we'll make sure that this is what is going to happen on a very, very, very regular basis. Now look, I wish I could say different. I wish I could say, well, for 25 years, we've done it every single night. For 25 years, we've done it all by the book. And for 25 years, I've seen the greatest result, but I'd be a liar and a hypocrite. I don't want to be that. So I'm just simply sharing to you, don't quit because it may be a little awkward. You got to figure it out, but it's worth figuring out, I'll tell you that. Don't stop. Consider what you're doing with them. And by the way, if you make the Bible a big deal, it will be a big deal. You make a big deal, it will be a big deal. And so expose them to the truth. Consider first the source of the truth. But secondly, can I just encourage you to consider the support of the truth? The support of the truth. And I want to call your attention to your notes to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, watch, the pillar and the ground of, what's the next word? Truth. The pillar and the ground of truth. That's what the house of God is supposed to be. The house of God is supposed to be support to the truth. Now, by the way, the Bible can stand by itself. It does that, and it doesn't apologize. I can say nothing against the truth, but for the truth. But God says that the house of God is to be the pillar and the ground of truth. So, if parents are parenting biblically, and they're exposing their children to not just Bible theology, but Bible practical theology, then if they're exposing their, if they're parenting biblically, then all that the church is teaching will be complementary to what the parents are teaching, not in competition to what they're teaching. You see, we got to be very careful. The church is positioned then on inappropriate or immoral behavior or priorities or ungodly entertainment or worldly influence will be in support of all that mom and dad are teaching and exemplifying in the home. That's the way it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to take the Word of God, teach it to my children. I'm supposed to come to church and get the support through classes and through preaching. As my kids hear it and they say, oh yeah, dad's right. Oh yeah, mom's right. Oh yeah, I'm supposed to listen. I'm supposed to honor. I'm supposed to obey. I'm supposed to be godly. I'm supposed to have right priorities. That's the way it's supposed to work. Unfortunately, some people turn their children over to the school or the church and want them to be the only godly example. Let me just say this. Parents ignorantly turn their children away from God's Word when they send mixed signals to their children by living in contrast to it. Now, we got to be very careful. I've got to expose them to the truth. I've got to consider the source of it, that everything that my children need belong in this, from this book, comes from this book. But then also there's a support mechanism that God puts in place called the local New Testament church. So that thou knowest how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church, the pillar, and the ground of truth. John Quincy Adams said, so great is my veneration of the Bible that the earlier my children begin to read it, the more confident will be my hope that they will prove useful citizens of their country and respectable members of society. God said it this way, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. Look, I want to hear someday that my children are walking in the truth. I want to hear that. I want somebody to tell me how wonderful it was to watch them lead someone to Christ or have an influence in their life. I want that, but it's never going to happen unless they're first exposed to it. They have to be exposed to the truth so that they can walk in it. Secondly, they need to be encouraged in the truth. They need to be encouraged in the truth. What I mean by that is, as a parent, it is my responsibility to show them the benefits of and the blessings that go along with living according to the Word of God. It is required of me. I'm supposed to show them that. I'm supposed to talk to them about that. And so, what do I mean by an encouragement? How can I be an encouragement of the truth and encourage them in the truth? Well, first of all, I can do it by expression. I can do it by expression. The Bible says, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works over and over as you go through the Psalms. The psalmist, no matter who it was, David or Moses or Asaph or even some anonymous psalmist, They are continually wanting people to know of the glorious works of God. They are wanting people to know that God not only is the God of the living, but He is a God that is a real God, and He's a great God. And what He does justly and rightly and perfectly, and to praise and worship Him, and to remind them, hey, I just want you to know, we would not have what we have. We would not be doing what we were doing if it were not for the wonderful grace of God, kids. We need to just thank God right now. We need to pray before we leave the house and ask God to bless our trip and keep us safe. We need to ask God to be with those that we're leaving behind. All of that is by expression encouraging them in the way of the Lord. I want them to be thinking about God wherever they go. When you talk about the Bible in terms of how wonderful its truths are and how amazing it is, it fosters a curiosity to learn more, and then it solidifies its place in the heart of your child. It doesn't matter what age they are, as long as you continually put it before them, listen, the Bible works. It's the Word of God. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. You just need to put it out there and trust God with it. I've got to encourage them in the truth. When you write a note or a letter or an email to your child, include a Bible verse, so that your children are always turned back to the truth. The Bible says, make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of all thy wondrous works. I want my kids to get a Bible verse. I don't want them to draw their only encouragement just because I'm there or I'm telling them, you can do it, it's all right, you're a good person. It's got to go beyond that, folks. It's got to go beyond the fact that mommies and daddies love their kids. It's got to go beyond to the fact that there's a God that loves you and He's watching over you now that you're gone from our little nest. My kids are getting ready to leave and I'll be down to two. I'll be 3/5 there. I'll be 60% empty. And not that I'm looking forward to being empty, but I'm just simply saying, what do I want them to think about when they're gone? How secure it would be if they were with mommy and daddy. I don't want to play the role of spiritual pacifier for the rest of their life. At some point, they're going to have to learn to grow up. At some point, they're going to have to take a hold of that rope of faith. At some point, they're going to have to look up and put their own eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ because they have no one else around them with their last name that's doing it for them. You're going to have to encourage them in that way. There's enough, by the way, of the world in the world that's trying to pull them away from it. Shouldn't it be that we try to point them to it? I mean, there's enough in the world that's trying to keep them away from the truth. It ought to be that parents have enough spiritual foresight that they would be lending the truth back. Look, I need to encourage them by way of expression. Secondly, I need to encourage them by way of esteem. The Bible says, therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. I always encourage people to pray with their children for multiple reasons. One of which is so that they can, that is, the child can hear you pray for their heart for God. Now look, I don't want you to raise your hand, but how long has it been since you prayed with your kids out loud? And I don't mean just letting them pray or God help us to sleep good, keep us safe. I'm for that, but have they heard you pray for the will of God for them? Have they heard you pray about their progress in their Christian walk? Have they heard you pray about the direction for their life? One way is to pray for them out loud. Your prayers concerning their growth and your noticing, listen, goes a long way in their life for Christ. Have you noticed something that you could mention in a prayer that would confirm not just your love, but it would confirm your faith in that the Word of God is actually working in your child's heart? Do you see your children growing spiritually? I'm just simply saying, it goes a long way when you begin to pray with your kids, and what they're hearing is, Mom and Dad are praying for me to be right. They're praying for me to stay right. They're praying for me to do right. They're praying for me to be a witness. They're praying for me to be faithful. Man alive. You do that over and over and over and over and year after year after year, what are you going to have? Someone that denies the Bible? Someone that just says, my parents never loved me? No. What you're going to have is someone who walks in the truth because you've been exposed them to it. You've encouraged them in it. The Bible says in Colossians 1 and verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day that we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Watch, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Those words I have prayed out loud in my children's ears. Why? Because that's what I want for their life. I want them to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. I want them to walk worthy. I have said, Lord, please help Braden. Lord, please help Jenna. Please help my children to walk worthy, the Bible says, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that they would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Lord, help them to be fruitful in every good work. Lord, that means even in the sixth grade they can be fruitful in every good work. That means it doesn't matter the age. It's all, by the way, the Bible is always age appropriate. It doesn't matter. If they're hearing it and they're hearing the sincerity in your voice, I promise you it is doing exactly what God intended it to do. So pray for them. Expose them to it. Encourage them with it. By esteem, lift up the name of Christ and lift up the Word of God. Lift up God's plan for their life. Over and over. You say, Pastor, that's just brainwashing. Great. If it means that they're not dirty by the world's standards, then I'm okay with that. I want to wash that heart every single day. And by the way, that's biblical. Ephesians chapter 5. By the washing of the water by the word, that he may present it unto himself, a chaste virgin. The idea is that I want my kids not to just be exposed to the truth. I want to encourage them in the truth. Thirdly, I do that by way of example. Turn back, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 6. And what I love about Proverbs is not only is it a part of the Word of God, and of course it's the book of wisdom, but it's just a dad who was inspired by God to write, to help his son and his grandchildren and the seed of David, as God promised that that seed would always belong to him. And so we find here in Scripture some very careful words, And I want you to understand, look, it's important what we say, and it's important what we teach. Notice what Solomon said in Proverbs 6 and verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is light, is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the ways of life. Now, I want to say this by way of talking about encouraging them by example. Words may influence. That's what the Word of God's all about. That's what Solomon is writing. Words may influence, but pictures leave an impression. And that's the difference. Pictures leave an impression. That is why children do more of what they see than what they hear. So though Solomon says here in Proverbs chapter 6, listen, I want you to take the words of your mom and the words of your dad and bind them about thine heart. We've tried to raise you right. We've tried to bring you up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Keep those about thy neck, because they're going to be health to thy navel, and they're going to give you a life that God's going to bless. Later on, he's going to say, observe my ways. Why? Because he's spoken already about 22 chapters of words. It comes to the point that all parents have to come to is, yes, this is all I've said, but what have I done? Because that's going to leave a bigger impression. By example, I must encourage them in the truth. Now, let me say this also by way of the hearing that our children should walk in the truth. Let me say number three. We need to expect the truth. If I'm going to take the time to expose them to the Word of God, if I'm going to take the time to encourage them through the Word of God and by prayer and by example, then I should expect the truth in their life. I should expect it. If God expects His children to grow, then we should expect the same thing. If God expects us to grow as children, shouldn't we expect our children to grow in grace also? I mean, that's the idea. We are responsible for helping our children grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, it just so happens that that verse is on the tail end of Jesus going to the temple year after year, year after year, year after year, for years, over a decade, with his mom and dad. So as he was growing, the Bible talks about him growing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with men. Then I should be able to expect the same thing if my children are exposed to the truth, if they're being encouraged by the truth, if there's been a good, strong example of the truth, then I should be able to expect that truth is going to come out of them, right? I mean, that makes just sense to me. That whatever I'm exposing my children to, I should be able to see that coming back. So, what are some things that I can do to, you know, to test that? Well, number one, you need to ask questions. Ask questions. You're the parent. You can ask whatever you want to. You don't have to check with some legislature. You don't have to get permission from somebody. You're the mom or the dad. Ask away. It's okay. You have the right to ask your child any question that you want. Isn't that amazing? Now, I don't have necessarily all the right to ask your children everything, but you do. So why don't you ask? Oh, I know. You don't want to intrude. Well, what if they don't like the question? I thought of that. What's the questions we should ask? Well, ask them what they learned in youth group. Ask them what they learned at the youth activity or what was their funnest part. Ask them what they learned at Bible study. Ask them about the message at church. Ask them why they don't want to go to a youth function. Ask them why they don't want to go to youth camp. Ask them about their devotions. Ask them when they had it. Ask them how long they had it. Ask them the chapters that they read and then peruse it and then ask them a question about how God spoke to them about it. See, man, what else are you going to ask them for? Whatever you want, ask them about how work went. Ask them about their friends. Watch this. If the truth is in there, then it'll come out. If the truth is in there, but watch this. If it's having trouble coming out, then you need to find out why. If they don't want to talk, if they're not very forthright, something is awry. There's a fox in the hen house somewhere, and you better get it out. There's a problem. Are we all okay tonight? A little sluggish after we have. Maybe we need to cut back on the carbs and have something else or something. I don't know. Maybe get some caffeine back there. I don't know. But we need to be asking questions. We need to be looking for the evidence because it's our responsibility. By the way, let me give you this verse. In Psalm 12, verses 1 and 2, David cried out, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one of his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart do they speak." Now, I don't want coming out on a regular basis of my children's face vanity, flattering lips, or a double heart. It may be okay to have a double agent working for you, but you don't want your child to have a double heart. You don't want your child to have one foot over here in the world and one foot over there in God's will. That's a double heart. In fact, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. There's nothing that God can bless that has duplicity. God says, no, I want unity. I want your heart. If an eye be single, that's what he's talking about. I want you to be focused. And what I don't want out of my children is a double heart. I don't want them thinking of vanity, those things that are empty. What do I want? I want them to be walking in the truth. The Bible says a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So I need to ask questions. Why? Because I should be expecting the truth to be doing its work. Secondly, then I need to weigh the answers. Let me just say this to every parent who wants to ask a question, you better be ready for the answer. And it's more, and look, this is just some more practical parenting here. It's more than just the answer. You need to watch their eyes. You need to watch their body language. You need to listen to the tone. If it seems like you're intruding, don't stop. If it seems like you're intruding and it's getting a little uncomfortable, you better put the pedal to the metal. Because you're about to uncover something that God wants you to know. Well, what about their privacy? Remember, we talked about that two services ago. They have none. You gave them life. You are their privacy. You get to know everything about their life. You get to. Why? Because you're going to stand before the Lord one day, and you're going to give an account. You're going to give an account for what you know and what you should have known. Don't stop. Keep going. You're going to find something. And at the least, it will be an attitude that needs to be corrected. I put a quote in your notes. Don't be an ostrich parent, sticking your head in the sand after they turn 12 and hope for the best by becoming a friend. You still have a long way to go. You need to expect the truth. An old pastor friend used to tell me, inspect what you expect. If you expect the truth, then inspect so that you can find out, okay, where do we have a problem here? Why is it that you're not learning anything? Why is it that you can't tell me what you learned? Why is it that it would be terrible as a pastor, but long before I was a pastor, when I was still in the military, if my kids were not learning in Sunday school or learning in their children's class, I didn't like it. I didn't. It was a waste of my children's time to go and color page and go on. I want them, they're there to learn the Word of God. Right, Brother Greg? Brother Greg left the church because they didn't want to teach the Word of God anymore to kids. Just wanted to show them videos. Okay? I want our children's ministry here to teach the Word of God. It's right. It's the best thing going. It's the truth. If our kids are ever going to be walking in the truth to the point where they're going to have such a testimony that somebody feels it necessary to tell the parents about it, then they have to be exposed to it. They have to be encouraged in it. They need to be asked, why aren't you growing spiritually? Why am I still struggling with your attitude? Why is it that you can't tell me what you've learned? Why don't you have a desire for the things of God? Why is that? Maybe the reason we don't have parents asking that is because that's the problem. It's because it's the parents' fault. And they don't want to have to account to their children's lack of spirituality because they're not having devotions, because they're making a show of spirituality. They have a form of godliness, but they have no power behind it. Now, the facts are in. We are losing generations behind us. They don't want to be a part of evangelical Christianity anymore. 85% of our teenagers will never go to church ever again after they leave our house. That's scary. That's very scary. Now, I don't know about you, but I want my children to walk in the truth, not in their own way. Because according to Judges, when that happens, there's bad stuff that goes on. Every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. Just read it. In Noah's day, they did whatever they wanted to. They took wives unto themselves. Not that God wanted it. They just did whatever they wanted to. By the way, sin always leads to death. It always leads to destruction. So when we're thinking about this matter of hearing of our children walk in truth, it doesn't happen by accident. It happens by purpose. So since you're going to be inspecting, I hope that you will. Number four, let me give you some evidence of the truth. I hope that you'll look hard at your children's lives in the coming week. And it doesn't matter what age. By the way, let me just say this. If they're younger, lower your expectations in knowledge, but raise your expectation in action. What I mean by that is, I'll show you here in a minute. The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. So, what's the evidence of the truth? Somebody put this warning label on the outside of a Bible and said, this book is habit forming. Regular use causes loss of anxiety, decreased appetite for lying, cheating, stealing, hating. Symptoms are increased sensations of love, peace, joy, and compassion. Now, that's what will happen if you really get into the Word of God. And by the way, all the things that I just said, everybody was like, yeah, I love that out of my kids, no matter how old they are. So, evidence. Let me say, first of all, there's a pronounced evidence. When I'm doing things God's way as a parent, when I'm exposing, exemplifying, encouraging, and I am looking for the evidence, God says there's going to be a pronounced evidence. They're going to be obedient. They just will, because that's God's plan. They're going to be honoring. They're going to be loving both parents. They're even going to love their siblings. And I know that sounds just so crazy right now that they would actually ever love their siblings, okay? But in reality, that's what happens. The Bible says when a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies shall be at peace with him. Now, you can have that in a roommate, you can have that in a brother, you can have that in a sister, you can have it in a marriage, you can have it at work. The Bible works. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. There'll be a pronounced evidence. You stay with it long enough, mom and dad, and you will see the progress, and God will bless that. When you get encouragement from another Christian, when you get encouragement from the Word of God, when you get encouragement just seeing the progress, they're going to be encouraged. They'll sense it in you. And you're praying for them, and this whole cycle of parenting begins to take traction, and then you're off and running. And then one day, Lord willing, because you've trained them up in the way they should go, and now that they're old, they're not going to depart from it, someone's going to send you a note, a card, an email, or a conversation, and they'll say, hey, I just want you to know your child was a blessing. They have a heart for God. You can tell that. You can see they have a servant's heart. You can see that they love everything about what God is doing in their life. There's no greater joy. John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. There's a pronounced evidence. Secondly, I think there's a personal evidence. That is, it goes beyond, and now I'm talking to the parents of 10, 11, 12, and on. There's a pronounced evidence immediately, but there's a personal evidence as we go on. You see, they begin to have a love for the things of God on their own. They believe they have a love for God's people and for the church. It doesn't bother them to go. It's not a big deal to go. It's just what we do. Their Bible is being used, actually, and they know where it is. It's not about, Mom, have you seen my Bible anywhere? They know where it is because they're reading it. They have a desire for it. You see them, and you see them actually spending time with the Lord. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't you love to have just a few minutes of time and walk down the hall and you say, I wonder what they're doing. And you open up and they're reading their Bible. Some of you would probably like, I'd pass out if I saw that. I wouldn't know what to do. Well, the first time I ever saw it, I wept. But I'll tell you, there's no greater thing. Not only to hear it, but to see it. When you see the pronounced evidence, it's only a matter of time, and they're going to personally be, they'll be personally loving the things of God. Those, by the way, are all great encouragers for any parent, so don't quit. Expose them, encourage them. Pronounced evidence, obedience, honoring, loving their parents. Personal evidence, loving the things of God. Then thirdly, there's a public evidence. A public evidence. Children that are being exposed to the truth and they're being taught the whole counsel of God in a godly environment by parents who love God and want to serve God, they're going to know how to respond to authority. Why? Because you've taught them. Look, moms and dads, don't get upset with your children for not responding to adults when they're spoken to if you've never taught them how to do it. Don't get upset with them. Teach them. Teach them to do it at home. Teach them to do it when you're somewhere, whether it's at work or at the park. If an adult speaks to them, just use them as teaching times and train them and train them and train them. But it'll eventually get there. Why? Because they'll understand. Hey, I'm supposed to speak when I'm spoken to, and I'm supposed to respect and honor those people because they're adults. They'll get it. They'll respond to authority. They'll be sensitive to people's needs. They'll have a servant spirit. They won't be lazy. They listen during preaching. They respond during the invitation unprovoked and are truly doing business with God. Listen, if you see your teenager doing that, you should have great joy. If your teenager is sitting and listening and you see them leave the aisle and walk down here, you ought to shout for hallelujah when you see them go down there. You ought to. And let me say this. For you parents, it would be good for you at some point while they're growing up to take them by the hand and bring them down here yourself so that they're not scared of it. So that they don't think that, you know, everybody comes up here, everybody knows what everybody else is doing, so we shouldn't go up there. No, that's not what it's all about. This ought to be a place where people get right with God. This ought to be a place where people do business with God, where people make decisions and commitments to God. This ought to be a place that's holy and reverenced, and a place where your son can come and listen to you pray, and where you and your son and even your wife could come and make a commitment and say, God, don't let the only time they come forward is when they're dedicated as a baby. Make sure that they're familiar with it. They won't be scared of it. They won't be ashamed to use it. I say, oh, yeah, okay. And then one day when Brother McCracken's preaching, or one day when Brother Siska's preaching a missions conference, and they feel that tug of God that I talked about on Sunday night, and it's just not enough to give of our missions offering. It's just not enough to go and tell our friends about Christ. They feel, Lord, there's got to be something else, and I don't know what you're talking to me. Oh, you want me to surrender. Okay, I'm going. I'm going to go tell preacher God's called me to preach. I'm going to go tell preacher God's called me to the mission field. You want that, trust me. You'll never regret it. You'll never regret that willing heart. You'll see this public evidence, and it'll all just compound. And then, letter D, then there'll be a profound evidence one day, Lord willing, a profound evidence. What do I mean by that? You know what will blow your socks off? It would be one thing to hear from somebody one day that your children are actually walking in the truth of God's word. But it will blow your socks off, and it will blow my socks off when they're actually teaching their children the same truth. I can't wait for that day. I can't wait for the day where I, Lord willing, will be able to see my children not just walk in the truth, but one day they'll sit down and they'll be doing devotions with their babies. And they'll be in a church like this church. And they'll be listening to preaching like the preaching that comes from this pulpit, and they'll be taking their babies down to the altar. They'll not just be dedicating them, they'll be leading them that way. There would be no greater joy than that right there. Ask some people in here who have children and grandchildren that are doing that. The Dolls are not here tonight. They always tell me every single time they come back, the church that they went to, the services that they went to. They even tell me the ones they liked and didn't like. But they always come back and they say, Pastor, it's so great. Five generations were in church today. And I always tell them, same thing. Now, Brother Dahl, you can't go back anymore. You have to stay here. Marion's not doing well with her eyes, and you need to take like a year off of traveling. And they always say the same thing. We have to see our grandkids and our great-grandkids and our great-great-grandkids. And they're telling me where they're going to church. Ask Sandy Williams what it's like to see her grandbabies grow up at Shadow Mountain Baptist School. And sit on her husband's lap and talk to them about Christ. Just ask her the joy that comes up right here. It's real. That's the joy that I want to experience one day. It will be so far greater than anything I could ever experience. The Bible says that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. It's an amazing thing, this matter of truth. John said, I have no greater joy in all of life that could possibly be a part of me than to hear that my children walk in truth. When it comes to parenting, I can attest to the greatest joy in life is not having a child, or even a child that graduates from high school, or even having a child that graduates from college. The greater joy by far is to hear someone speak of them as they walk in the truth. Now I'm going to ask you two questions. We're going to pray. What kind of joy do you want to experience as a parent? If you want to experience that kind of joy, then you cannot quit. You owe it to the truth to see through it to the end. Now, the second question is this. What kind of joy are you seeing? What kind of evidence are you seeing in your children? Because our children are really just evidence of our parenting. Now, all of these messages are really webbed together so that we could build on them, okay? I don't give a pass-fail grade. That's God's job. This last week, in fact, yesterday, I had the privilege of going to the Santa Clara County Traffic Court. Not for me, thank the Lord. And I sat there and I watched as these individuals went up to the bar, so to speak, of judgment, stand before the Judge Pro Tem that day. And I was listening to everybody go up and say, not guilty, not guilty, no contest, which he was very plain to say, no contest is the same as the guilty plea. You need to understand that. No contest, no contest, not guilty, not guilty. And I kept thinking to myself, you know what? That's going to be, let me go back. A lot of people would go up and say, no guilty, and here's why, or no contest, and here's why, and all that stuff. I couldn't help but think that's exactly what it's going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to have every excuse under the planet at least prepared in our mind as to why we didn't do things God's way. And at that point, it won't really matter. Out of the, I think there was 37 people that were called that day that entered a plea, only two said guilty. Only two. That was amazing to me. That stuck in my mind. Only two people of all of these people who were pulled over, who were arrested, who had everything wrong, said not guilty no matter what. Like, what do you mean not guilty? Your car didn't have a registration, you didn't have a license, you're saying not guilty? How is that even possible? They're lying to themselves. You know, it's a tragedy even more than that. It's parents that are lying to themselves about how they're parenting for God. They're using every excuse in the book why a message like this should bother them instead of help them. And that really is going to be where the joy is found. I'm either going to have the joy temporarily of doing my own thing, a pleasure of sin for a season, or I'm going to have no greater joy hearing that my children are walking in the truth because I have done my utmost to make sure that they're exposed to the truth. What are you doing to expose your children to the truth? Are you encouraging them? Are you looking for the evidence in their life? Because if the truth is there, it's going to work. It's just got to be witnessed by an example. Let's pray and ask God to help us to parent this way so that one day we can hear our children walking in the truth and experience that great joy. Heavenly Father, I thank you for giving me children. And Lord, over and over again in 2.5 decades, I've confessed so much failure and sin. And you've been so gracious and merciful. And for that, I'm so thankful. And Lord, I stand here tonight as, Lord, completely inadequate by way of experience and thinking that I am a great parent. But Lord, I am standing here and I am giving creed to the one book that never fails and to the one God that never fails. And Lord, I want to draw attention to that. The truth is the most powerful thing. It is the reality of heaven on earth. And God, our children need to hear it, know it, walk in it. Not so that we can think ourselves more highly than we ought, but so that we can say to God be the glory. So that our kids could have a better start than we had. So that our kids will go on to be better Christians than we are. So that one day they'll be teaching their children of the old paths and the good and right way. Lord, as parents, we'll be having a time. There'll be joy in the homes, and that joy will lead to more blessing. I pray that for our parents. I pray that you'd encourage them. I pray that you'd bless them. I pray, God, that you'd help us as parents to do all that we can to get the truth in and the foolishness out. I pray that you will be gracious and merciful as you always are and long-suffering. Lord, forbearing, God, that you would guide and direct in just a multiplicity of ways. Every need in this room tonight, I pray that you'd meet. Every decision that needs to be made, I pray that you'd encourage and then seal in your Holy Spirit. And God, I pray that you'd help us to be diligent. Help us to be mindful, Lord, that when we are exposed to the truth, there is a liar that's looking out and listening. And God, I pray that we would be those sheepdogs that are just always watching, always vigilant, ready to pounce, protecting our sheep. Lord, I pray that you bless our babies. I pray they'd be saved when they're little. They would have a true testimony, like I heard that visitor say on Sunday. He said, I believe a real testimony is a child being saved young and raised in the church and kept from the world. What a blessing that was to my ears. God, may that be of our little ones. Help us to protect them. Help us to sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is the truth. And Lord, would you please minister to hearts tonight? With heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder tonight if you just take a minute or two as Sarah begins to play right where you are and just say, Lord, I want your help. Solidify in your mind what kind of joy that you want.